Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Good morning and welcome to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial Services. I'm Trent Hasten from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts Sunday 9 to 10.
So refreshing, yeah, refreshing.
Weather is nice, sun is out, golfers are golfing in the Queen City.
No, I have a headset on. That's so refreshing.
Oh, what? So you don't have to hear anybody?
Because I have to give my headset away generally.
Oh, you do.
To our guests, because you get to keep yours.
Not today.
I don't understand how you get to keep yours, the guest gets theirs, and I can't hear anyway.
I was about to say, what does it matter?
We have a really small refrigerator in our cabin, which has a door from our master bedroom, okay?
All right.
And it's like two rooms into our cabin.
You're going to have to explain to everybody what your cabin is.
It's a man cave or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's our basement we finished off.
There
My
you go.
Master suite's in our basement.
But it's not a separate suite.
I'm a hobbit. and we were in our bathroom yesterday, and Reagan goes, man, that wine, it's a wine refrigerator, but it's a little refrigerator.
She goes,
it beeps when the door's open, and I cut it off, and it's beeping. I said, I don't hear it. And she's like, you don't hear that? I'm like, no. So then she proceeds to open the door, and I walk into the basement, and she said, you don't hear that? I said, nope. And we walked over there to the wine refrigerator.
You're standing right next to
it. It doesn't have anything in it.
One
of the kids had opened it and left it open. And I stuck my head in it, and nope, didn't hear it. I heard it. I heard it then.
That's like back in the that's.
She's baffled. I can't believe those two kicker 12s and that 1100 watt amp did such a good job. Goodness gracious! I'm so proud of those speakers I built.
We had
back
those
in
too.
High school.
Yeah, I don't think that's like a thing anymore, right?
I don't hear many. I mean, there's a little bit of it.
A little bit of bass boom.
Go uptown.
Yeah,
hear some of it.
Hear some.
We went to the Knights game Saturday night. And we heard some. I think they were more like 15-inch or 18-inch.
They got more of a deep hit.
12s is old school. These are a little better.
I had a 10, but it was in a virtual box.
Well, you are Patrick. So I will say the Knights got beat 20-1.
What?
By Norfolk. Norfolk beat the Knights 20-1.
They play the Yankees?
And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. They do one heck of a job of entertaining the family losing 20-1.
It's hard to get excited when you're down 20-1.
I mean, there's other stuff to do. They got a good food program.
Well, there's a lot going on in Charlotte sports.
You go out to a lot of – I think all of our teams are subpar.
Well, we got Bryce Young. What do you think about that?
I'm excited.
I am too.
We'll see.
They got the slogan. I saw the billboards traveling out to Shelby today, young and ready. They got his picture up there.
Oh, wow.
He's
Man,
ready.
Already?
I guess he's already ready.
Was that the Panthers or was that a Pepsi?
I think it was the Panthers.
Oh,
same
okay.
color scheme.
Hard to tell. He already has, I mean, with the Neil,
young,
now you can promote any company at any
young
time.
And ready. Well, he's out.
You think any of them sixth graders are making Neil money yet? I gotta get Piper in the game. She needs to bring home some bacon to the house.
Speaking of bacon, that's the name of Scarlet's softball team. They're the Bacons. Interesting, huh?
They can't even have a real name?
Interesting. They wanted to be the
Bacons. Well, my kids' team is the Orioles.
Okay,
just so you understand.
All right.
And the Forks. My kid. Which one? Hang on now.
I have learned this about Dilworth Little League before I had a kid that played sports there. The Orioles were not somebody that you wanted to mess with. They were pretty good.
Back in the day, that was our rival.
Brick McDermott was on
for
the Orioles.
For my 4 years.
That's right.
It was
I
our
remember
rival.
This conversation.
And I am now wearing a Andrew Roby today
yeah.
on my head Woody. I'm looking at the camera now we have in our studio.
It's so
intimidating. And Andrew Roby, Little League baseball hat.
Man, I'll tell you, you know, we get to see this at the Cornhole Tournament because we're out there and we see the signs and the Roby Field. And
this is up on the big field, Patrick, not down there with the kiddies. Not the kiddie games.
I understand.
We Little League.
This is still youngsters here, but it's cool when you go there on a Saturday and you see a bunch of kids running around with Andrew Roby and Roby shirts.
It is good. I mean, it's Roby Services, Roby Electric. We got
Roby Services out there, and we got an Andrew Roby team, I believe.
Wow.
And so, yeah, it's cool, man. I mean, I think that it's something that y'all have done and you grew up with. Those of us that aren't from Charlotte, I mean, we get to see it at the Cornhole Tournament, but I didn't grow up with it until now. I have a daughter playing in that league. And it's neat, man. It really is. It kind of makes you feel proud.
It's cool. I think we've been doing Dilworth Little League for 60, 70 years or something.
Well, and your uncle, no surprise, to was a volunteer of the year, and it says his name on the side of the concession stand. I've never noticed that at the Cornhole Tournament before.
Yeah. No, Don was always coaching the Andrew Roby team and dragging the field. with the old chain
the
link
old
fence.
School one. Yeah, man.
That's the real drag.
That thing. I hear you.
You got to get that thing right.
And you got the line maker.
Like you tilling a little mini garden or something. Just spray some water on it.
The mound's got to be just right.
Man, that was good days.
That is
I enjoyed
days.
Playing baseball. It's fun. The reason why we went to tonight's game, number one, it's a fun thing for the family to do. But number two, Ford is getting into baseball. Now he's playing coach pitch, and it's kind of – rounding, I think I've said this on the show, rounding that corner and getting excited.
Yeah.
And talking about, we went to our girls' soccer game the other day, Gas and Christian, and they were playing a baseball game behind it. And
it's
I went
cool.
to the bathroom and walked by the baseball. And Ford said, good gracious, you see how fast that guy threw the ball?
They are good.
And I said, son, we're going to the ninth game.
No, my brother's good. His kids go to a school similar, and we talked about this, to Gas and Christian. And my nephew is a freshman. He played JV, but got called up when the JV season was over. He got called up. Now he's a bullpen catcher.
Wow.
So he's playing varsity.
That's impressive.
They made him dye his hair blonde. Other than that, it's doing
– the coach made
it, the whole team
that
did.
That sounds like it's against
whole
the
rules. Whole team dyed their body hair blonde.
Him.
They didn't make the whole team did.
Nobody getting made to do anything these days.
It
Let me
is
just
a
go ahead
sign
and
of solidarity.
It's the way the world's evolving.
Well, take us
solidarity.
Out. Solidarity. Who we got?
I got one more question. Hockey playoff. I don't watch hockey. Don't care about it.
I don't much.
But
either.
Man, I watched a game. They moved that puck around like it's a little, like it's their finger.
It's a flat baseball.
It's crazy.
That's what I think
it's
about hockey. Flat
they moved baseball around. I'm out of the game. I'm a little washed up. I think. I think I can – I can't do anything. Okay.
So we got Steve Proctor.
Steve Proctor. a dear, one of my very best friends from YPO. We've known each other for about 11 or 12 years, and he has him a place up in Banner Elk. So when I go up to the mountains, we hang out a little bit. He's from Nashville, Tennessee. When we return, you're listening to At Home with Roby.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial Services. I'm Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. Trent, I think I'm supposed to say something else after that.
If you don't.
I didn't say.
If you didn't catch the first segment or last week's show or the last 100 shows, go back. We're on the internet. We're on all this stuff. Instagram.
Facebook.
You
didn't say
Polygraph.
You
can't lie on here.
You didn't say Facegram this time. I'm pretty happy. Now, we are supposed to say the Roby family of company. Do you know Roby family company has it? We have a tagline. Did you know that? Get it all done by one.
Ooh, I did not know
I'm
that.
Supposed to work that in. I might need some help on the next one just remembering to do that. And then talking about our social media, you know, I don't know. Got to make sure we do it or these marketing people like Sarah are going to get mad at me.
Okay, who's our guest? Hey.
Steve,
you got to hear, Sarah is our marketing lady. She did a show about 6 or 7 years shows
six
that,
or seven
shows
years
ago.
Ago.
It seemed, we seem so familiar. It seems like decades.
Yeah.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. I've lost several Roby golf balls.
Hey, man, we appreciate
my part.
Marketing, right? Someone's going to find those, Joe. Just if you could hit them through like a really nice house's window, that would be good, too.
No, that is not good. Because they don't know it's not me, it's my buddy.
Who's your competitor?
None.
Shrieks on.
Yeah.
You want to start sabotaging them?
Oh, my gosh. I did that once in Las Vegas for a trade show. A competitor had gotten me a venue that I really wanted. And so my folks went out there and put the menus. We replaced them all with our products and price list.
Oh man, that's pretty good. Was this a friendly competitor, or was it? I guess after that, it probably wasn't too friendly. I would take it.
I don't think they make the friendly kind. I run into them.
You got to have respect for that, though. That's pretty good. Was it Jeff DeVood that came on and put his picture on everybody?
He still has two pictures in my office are still framed with his face.
So he was at Trent's office. We couldn't have him into the studios during COVID, and we came back to Trent's office, and he had cut out his head and replaced his head with Trent's head and all his family photos in his office.
Oh, that's right.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
That is good.
And it's a good show if you didn't catch it, Jeff DeVood.
And we're doing a little business together, too, with their heat tracing business. Yeah.
He's a real estate partner. Yep. He's partnering a parking shop out on Wilkinson Boulevard. Yes. That's the way the world spins.
Thank you for that, ODI. Appreciate it.
So, Steve.
Yes.
What state are you from?
I am from the 50th coolest state. The Union, South Dakota.
South Dakota.
Used to be 49. Used to be 49, but North Dakota, they found oil. And they have a good football team. And I run into North Dakotans here and there, and I'm always like, don't start acting like you're cool. I know that before.
So. They found oil.
But I'm from the Black Hills, South Dakota.
You always wear a flat-brim baseball hat, a San Diego Padres hat, and it says SD. Is that for South Dakota?
That's what I like to say. It is a San Diego hat, but right now I have my EBITDA. I got a bunch of EBITDA hats.
Yeah, I saw. That's what you have on your LinkedIn. I'll show it to Trent real quick here. That's cool. We need to get some of these.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, you like that?
You know, in a divided world, it's like the one message I think we can all get behind.
Yeah, I understand that. It's one language that doesn't lie, right?
Black and white.
Just like your LinkedIn picture, black and white.
That joker can be elusive sometimes.
So Steve and I really got to know each other. Steve's a YPO brother, and we were on a planning committee about 7 or 8 maybe years ago, and he is very entertaining and very intelligent. Let me just leave it at that.
Those are two pretty good things, yeah.
I'm also not working, and I tried to paint. I'm terrible. I tried to do some woodworking. Luckily, I got my fingers. I don't know. I feel pretty amateurish these days lately. But that's a nice compliment.
So Steve, tell us. You grew up in South Dakota. Well, I mean, what was life like in South Dakota? You're our first South Dakota origin fella.
Is it a South Dakotian?
I don't know. South Dakotan.
South Dakotan.
I grew up next to the Black Hills, and there's some plains up there, and it gets very, very cold. I think it's quite cute with Southerners when the snow comes.
Cute.
I have a place in North Carolina in Banner Elk that reminds me very much of the Black Hills, actually.
Really?
There is. That side of North Carolina has, there's a little bit of a pioneer spirit, you know, coming from, what do you guys call it, the Triad or that area? What is that plateau called?
Tri-Cities.
Tri-Cities, but unless you have a physical feature that's kind of the geology there in that part of North Carolina.
Grandfather.
Blowing Rock?
We all live now near Charlotte. But
nah,
anyway,
he's past Blowing Rock.
When you got, when North Carolina, when they started, you know, settling the western part of the state, getting over on that Banner Elk side was kind of like a bridge too far for, you know, a lot of folks back then when they were riding horses. So I kind of, South Dakota, you know, there was Deadwoods there, the Gold Rush. It was kind of the genesis of that area of the world. Back before settlers, that part of North America was where Indian tribes would meet annually for like a kind of a spiritual conference, if you will, back then. It's renowned among Native Americans. And I definitely feel that one on occasion when I go back. Absolutely gorgeous. Spearfish Canyon, if any of your listeners have been there, I think they'd say it's a beautiful place. It's just hard to get to. And the next closest town to where I grew up was Denver, 8 hours away. So I would say growing up there,
wow, jeez,
there was a sense of there was a sense of, you know, when I meet people in Nashville where I live today, and they may be from a small town, that small town is an hour or two from a big city center. And when you're 8 hours from the next city center, there's a lot of dreaming that goes on when you're chopping wood in the wintertime and hauling it and cutting trees down, of like what it would be to be out of there. So I spent a lot of my childhood in my high school years just thinking about what it would be like on the other side of civilization, which I think served me well, because I remember watching a Denver Broncos football game and thinking everybody in that stadium must be a millionaire. Like, how you could ever afford to go to a game. I mean, gosh, what a crazy concept. And since then, I've had the opportunity to go to those. But I try to treat them, I try to treat those experiences with the wonderment that I remember imagining them as a child.
Wow. I mean, I think you do have to be a millionaire to go to an NFL game these days, by the way, the way the ticket prices have gone up. But that's really, it almost sounds like, I mean, like an Alaska type feel, what you're saying.
Yeah, 8 hours from the next city.
That's unbelievable.
Denver.
Yeah.
That's crazy. As well as I know Steve, and as good of friends as we are, I've never heard that perspective. Steve, where'd you go to college?
I went to University of South Dakota. I call it the Duke of South Dakota.
There's that SD you're talking about.
Where is the SD South Dakota, or is it San Diego Padres on the ball cap?
It's actually a Padres hat. I wear it, just for, I'm able to say in South Dakota. But I also have a Yankees hat and a Milwaukee Brewers hat. And I'll just say on the hat front, if wearing a baseball hat, I'll go out and I'll run around Nashville, and so many people are moving here from other parts of the country.
Yeah, same here.
I'm amazed at how friendly people are with baseball teams. They'll want to come up and they'll introduce themselves, and we'll talk about players. Baseball has a very special bond among baseball fans and people from cities. I'd recommend it if you haven't done it. I know Charlotte's that way too. A lot of folks moving to town.
So let me ask you, if I wear a hat, I used to have a royal blue with the Brewers mitt on it hat, the same one you wear. I used to wear it a lot. Do you have to study the team as a grown person and be able to talk shop with them, or can you just say, I just like the hat?
That's exactly. I bought my New York Yankees hat when I was at a Dave Matthews show, Madison Square Garden, and I had in Banner Elk. I had an older gentleman come up and say, "Are you a Yankees fan?" I was like, "Not really. I just love the hat, and the city was so good to me when I was there."
Oh,
intimidating place. And the guy played for the Yankees.
What?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I don't recall his name, but he, his wife, and I, and he's. We talked for probably 20 minutes, just wore a baseball hat. It's just a great, it seems like knocks down, walls when people want to get to know each other.
No, I would agree with that. I mean, especially being in a city from Charlotte, it's a lot like Nashville where no one's from here. And so it's a great conversation starter.
Yeah, I think our cities have a lot in common. Hey, Steve, believe it or not, we got to go pay some bills. Will you stick around for a few minutes?
Absolutely.
All right. Steve Proctor on the At Home with Roby show. We'll be back.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Welcome back. At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial Services, along with Trent Hasten from the Roby family of companies. The Roby family of companies. Get it all done by one.
Get it all done by one.
Did you like that?
Son.
Dude, I have said the same thing at the intro of this show for 5 years, 6 years almost now. It's hard to switch it up. I'll tell you, it's like autopilot.
You didn't have Sarah Strauss in the house?
So she did tell me on Friday that she has conceded to the fact that you're never going to pronounce her last name correctly.
Well,
I told her, join the club. My last name gets
butchered. Well, I got a buddy out of Atlanta. Hill Hardman and H-I-L-L, and I talked to another buddy from Atlanta this morning, and I said, man, I was hanging out with Hill and his twin brother John, and he's like, you said it wrong, Trent, it's Hill. I was like, dang.
Like a Tar Heel?
Kind of like a
Hill?
Brand. Well, no, I'm the one that branded the dang thing.
What's funny, though, is that your last name is obviously Haston, but Siri thinks it's Haston. And I've heard you called Haston a ton of times, too. So it's not the – she'll go, call from Trent Haston.
I'll tell you about that.
Trent Haston.
Okay. So Steve Proctor's a tall drink of water, good, handsome man. Looks like he come on, rode in on a horse from South Dakota all the way to North Carolina, and he has a pretty good mustache. Check him out on LinkedIn, Steve Proctor. He's wearing the Ibida hat, and
that is a nice.
I took him up to Diamond Creek this past summer, and I was looking for a picture. I had my mustache cut in pretty good there for a couple months.
You did, you did. In fact, you went to one of the job sites at. Who told? Oh no, this is it. That's Jeremiah Romeo from our team had a nice mustache, and he said, "Hey man, it's weird. Ever since I've had this mustache, I keep getting applications to be a firefighter." And I think I'd use that joke against you, but it wasn't original for me.
Well, I took Steve to Diamond Creek, and our pro, who's a wonderful guy, very reserved, he came inside. Steve had gone outside, and he goes, "Trent, I'm baffled. Where do you get these people?" So, Steve, you go to South Dakota. What'd you study at South Dakota?
On the mustache front, I did shave it at the recommendation of a friend of mine just to change things up. I got sick of paying for coffee and newspapers and not getting served first at busy bars, so I grew it back. It's important. It's social equity. It's kind of fun. When you meet someone else with a mustache, that's another way. Like, you just basically, you got a friend.
Time out. Do you have a mustache comb?
I don't. I do not have a comb. I don't. I don't know. That might be a little too much.
That might be taken too. Did I go too far?
That might. Yeah.
I have a tendency to do that.
I don't
that.
Think he cares yeah. about the mustache. I think he just cares that he has a mustache and he bonds with people. Of yeah. Steve's all yeah. about relationships
and
experiences. I will say, on that committee that we first really became best friends, we had met a couple times before.
Yep.
I was the transportation chair for the committee, which is a thankless job and there's not much to do. And for 3 days in a row, Steve and his wife Michelle went to the airport with Reagan and I and greeted people. How fun was that, Steve?
Oh, that was great. That was great.
That was in Mexico?
I wish you'd have had your mustache then. I'm disappointed.
Yeah, no, I would have been probably a better, more important committee had I. I think I had, for those listening, I had filled out a form of like feedback for a prior conference, and I was critical of it. And then they called and asked me to be a part of the conference to make it better, and I said sure. And I was in charge of the bathrooms, and at the airport in Mexico.
So you're just like, hey, they're over there. Nice, welcome to Mexico. Hey, the bathroom's over there. Well, that's kind of what I'm. But with the mustache, it sounds so much cooler. But it's like, yeah. Yo, the bathroom's over there, and people are like, that guy's got a mustache.
Steve, I don't care about what you did studied in college. tell the story about you giving away your car because it smelled like barbecue.
Oh wow, yeah. So I had this old BMW 740 IL. Kind of, it was 2001. The last year they made kind of the longer ones. And you know, I don't know about you guys, but as like a younger professional, you know, part of it what motivated me, and I think a lot of people, is that car that you always wanted. And I just thought that was such a baller car.
Yeah, those things are sweet. I remember those back in the day. Yep.
And I bought it. I bought it used, and I'd had it for years and years. I had it from probably 2004 or 2005 until like 2016 maybe. And I had a business. Called EdgeNet, and we had redone a building in this area in Nashville and had a restaurant there called Holy Chow, and the guy that owned it was really good with barbecue, had a smoker outside, and he had a blackberry barbecue that he smoked all weekend, and I had left my car there over the weekend.
That'll happen sometimes.
And the prevailing wind had blown the smoker smoke on this car throughout this car for, you know, what would have been probably 3 days. And I got back and I drove it, and I love the smell, but I mean, that there's sometimes, you know, good things can be a little much after a while. And I'd get out and people like, who is got blackberries in their pocket? Like, that's me. I couldn't go anywhere without. So I took it to a shop, and the guy said that they would have to take it apart and wipe down every part that was just blackberry.
Oh my gosh!
Soot. And so I was out. I used to hang out behind the building with the cooks, kind of part of my journey to go back to friends in low places when I was running this business. And I was talking to this this cook, and he and I got to know each other, and he had a disabled child, and just the plight, the transportation plight that they had, just touched me. So I just gave him my car right there. I gave him the key.
Wow.
And I took an Uber home, and Michelle is like, you know, French wife Reagan. She's like, "Where's your car?" I was like, "I gave it to this guy." And, I asked him. I said, "I probably should take the license plate. I've never done this before." So I took the license plate, and he found me the next day. He's like, "Look, I'm getting these tickets. The cops are writing the tickets because I parked here." So giving away your car isn't really easy. I had to go in and do some things to make sure he wasn't financially exposed. But yeah, I gave him the car, and then I went without a car for a little while, which was kind of nice, and Ubered around. That's the story.
And then now he has one of his, I think his main vehicle is a Jeep, a bad to the bone Jeep,
like a Wrangler.
Wrangler,
yeah, that's right.
And he takes the top off. You left the top off all last winter.
I left the top off for 14 months, yeah. And I was driving up and back to Banner Elks in that time.
Those things have really good heaters, though. I will vouch for that, but that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I you know,
with icicles on your mustache?
That's even cooler. Yeah.
Yeah, I would. I kind of love the elements, you know? In the back, I keep like a rain thing, and I keep something warm, and I've got the hand warmers, but just something about, like, I think this probably is like, when I was a kid in South Dakota, like I remember walking outside, like, again, these winters are very different than what we experienced down here. And I remember like looking out the door, like, I may not make it back. But when I would walk out, I'd kind of lean into it. Like, let's go, let's do this. You know, when you're out and had to chop some wood or go haul it or do whatever. And I had this old wood burning stove in my garage when I was a kid. And I that thing was my best buddy, because I'd go chop wood and I'd come back in and warm myself by it when I was thinking about doing like getting out of South Dakota.
Yeah.
And, I actually bought that. I bought that several years ago. My parents were moving. So I say I bought it. I had them, I shipped it to North Carolina and put it in storage. And then put it in my place up in North Carolina, because that thing and I spent a lot of time together. That wood burning.
Hold on, which the one in the
one you? Yep, that's right. That's that one.
The one in the treehouse.
Yeah,
that's from your childhood.
That's really cool,
dude. Yeah. President's Day weekend, we went up there. We stayed at Eagle's Nest, which is about a 5-minute drive from Steve's cabin, and I took Reagan and my mother-in-law and all the kids over there, and Steve has a friend. He takes such good care of people. He's his friend from when he worked at EdgeNet. That guy took care of Steve. He took care of him, and we hung out in the treehouse with this wood stove, I bet, for 5 hours and painted.
Man,
like we were artists. Right, Steve?
Oh, my gosh, that was so great. And you know, your daughter's painted the most beautiful pictures, and Patrick, they painted them so well. They're really talented. I'd love to be a painter. I'd love to be a songwriter. I just have to envy these skills in people. And Trent's kids have, oozed talent. And I didn't, you know, as much as I loved having them up there, I actually kept the paintings.
And we took his painting.
That's right.
And we have it. We're hanging it up. I mean, it's an official prominent painting in our home now. And we're going to tell people it's worth millions.
That's right.
House is worth $100,000.
It's an original Proctor.
So yeah. It is an original Proctor.
Yeah.
Steve, will you stick around? I want to have you on the last segment. We'll tell a couple more stories.
Sounds great.
Steve Proctor, when we return on At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial Services. I'm Trent Haston from the Roby Family of Companies. Roby Family of Companies, get it all done.
TJ said, get your ears fixed, Trent.
Goodness gracious.
And if you don't, and if you don't do it on your own, I'm going to blow them out.
Yeah.
How do you feel right now, Steve?
What? What'd you say?
I feel good. Good.
Can you hear?
Yeah, I can hear you.
So, Steve, you're very privileged because not many people get asked to come on the last segment. I think we need to have like 18 shows. We got stories out to Yang Yang. But you sold your business several years back, which you built this business, EdgeNet, and then now you're really intrigued by the AI industry. You want to talk a little bit about intrigue for that?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm intrigued or like I'm trying to have a positive outlook with it. I think it is going to be interesting. I can see some applications for it, like radiology. I mean, why would you not want to have the very smartest thing ever read your X-rays to tell you what's wrong? But I do see where. I get the sense that we're all going to have an AI personal assistant that kind of can go out there and run your personal values and algorithms against the world's information and sift it for you and then decide, give you options on how to behave or act or what to do or what to read, which in some ways that sounds terrific. But in some of the things I've watched, I think, I described it to Michelle as I'm worried everyone's going to have a nuke. I mean, I want to be positive, but I think there are people out there that I'm from the tech industry. I mean, that's where I built my career, and I'm not very bullish on their ability to see weigh what's going too far versus with engagement. And I think we need to be careful about the stewards of what's happening here. I wonder if the genie's out of the bottle, actually. I'm not sure that there's any regulation in the U.S. that can stop it. So,
It's funny you said
overall,
that.
Overall, go ahead.
You said the word genie. I was just showing Trent. I have the genie app, which is an AI tie-in. But I'm with you. I mean, it just seems like if this gets in the hands, and it already is, right? I mean, let's be real. I mean, it gets in the hands of the wrong people. I mean, it just seems very dangerous.
Yeah, there's a YouTube a presentation by Tristan. I think it's Tristan Harris. I think he did The Social Dilemma. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
Oh yeah, unbelievable.
It's beautifully done. He co-hosts something called the AI Dilemma, and it isn't it isn't AGI or artificial general intelligence. It isn't the idea of what GPT-5 was going to bring. It's like what's out there today, and what's out there today is. They had one demonstration on this documentary where they just asked AI to go find security vulnerabilities and in some effort that they were going to go do and write some code to exploit them, and it did it in less than 10 seconds,
real time.
But I think from the tech world, I think people that are out there that have the experience would resonate that the general person looks at the tech world and thinks, "Oh, wow! It must be very organized and it must be thoughtful, and wow, they do amazing things, and so they must really have their ducks in a row." And I'll tell you, I think it's a lot of making sausage. I've been in those rooms. I worked for Oracle. I've been with some very smart folks, and they're going fast, and they're gaining share, and they're gaining attention, and they're skipping, they're cutting corners. And I think those are the things I kind of worry about when it comes to something as good as AI. There's also an AI, this 2016 or 17, an AI documentary about the game Go, which is a very complex game that is in the Pacific Asia region. And they, I want to say that AI right now is like a player rating of 1,700, and the world champion is like a player rating of like 300. I mean, it's just to compete against something like that that is always going faster and most efficient. I mean, it just feels like when people get a hold of that, the people that thirst for power or money, I'd like to think our better angels win, but sometimes I worry.
Oh, I hear you. I mean, for those that aren't, it's as basic as on Sunday we had said, "Hey, Jeannie, make me a meal plan that's low carb and that's dairy free, only for dinners. It's easy to make." And literally in 2 seconds, it starts spitting it out for you. And then you ask it to make it. I mean, there are little things that even anybody can do with it. But I'm with you, Steve. Like the overarching, it just gets smarter and smarter and smarter. I mean, everybody's seen Terminator, right? I mean, I know that's a bad reference, but. That's what happened.
Well, I like the business y'all are in. I don't see any AI apps that are going to install ceiling
fans, being a plumber,
build walls.
Yeah.
You know? So,
so are you intrigued in that business as you move forward in your career? Because I know you're, not done, or you just more the traditional technology side, or you don't know.
No, I think that's one of the challenges. You know, Trent, you and I've talked about one of the challenges of exiting a business, and you know, love the way it all happened. It's nice to have bookends on a business where you can look back at a body of work and the people that worked with you win, and the investors win, the people that trusted you, your customers win. It just feels good to have that, but it really presents some challenges on like what to do next. And that's where it's almost a gift and a curse to be able to say, okay, well, you know, what's this next version look like? And when anything is possible, it can sometimes be overwhelming. I do think AI is interesting. I have some, I'm contemplating some investments in a business that's trying to pivot towards AI. I'm just not quite sure if that's going to create a moat as an investor that won't be replicated quickly by another instance of AI. So I'm kind of confused as to how to like be a good investor on this front. I saw that Sequoia made a seed investment for an AI business for legal, which seems to make a lot of sense to me. Like they can, this AI instance apparently can go through all of Westlaw, all of the documentation, all case law, and give you what is germane about your instance that is, you know, that would normally take dozens and dozens and dozens of hours of, you know, $500 an hour. So that kind of stuff is intriguing, but I'm not really quite sure where to make money in AI yet.
Well, Steve, thanks for being with us. Always fun. Man, I think we're going to have a repeat show. Thanks for listening.
Absolutely.
To At Home with
yes.
Roby. And go do the golden rule. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Carry a smile around on your face. Have a great day.